Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
46% of Americans expect to leave behind financial obligations when they pass away. So it's crucial to make sure your family is financially protected. Policy Genius helps you find the right life insurance coverage by comparing options from America's top insurers with help from licensed, award-winning agents. Secure your financial future with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get free life insurance quotes in just a few clicks. That's policygenius.com.
I guess I grew up on an older road.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 132. I am Ben O'Brien. I am coming to you from re-quarantine. I'm back in quarantine, Phil. How do you feel about that?
There's a lot. The office is a lot more quiet. It's been pleasant. It also smells a lot better. I don't know if that's just a coincidence or...
I was thinking that you might make that joke. That's inappropriate. I'm here all alone. And for clarity, I have had some symptoms, you know, like a headache, sore throat. And I figured it was better for me to stay home and not be patient zero at the Meat Eater offices than it was to possibly... In fact, all my good friends over there. So you're welcome, Phil. You're welcome.
No, thanks, I guess.
Yeah, I'm watching out for you, buddy. We also have Sam Lundgren. Say what's up, Sam.
Howdy. Or what's up?
What up? Well, we have the great Lan Tawney all the way from Missoula, Montana. Say hey, Lan.
Hey, the great. I think that's a little bit too far, but good to be here.
How about the tech-savvy Lan Tawney?
He's done better than most.
Yeah, didn't take long for that comment to come out.
I wish you're all in the same room, but we'll do our best we can over Squadcast, not a sponsor. Hopefully it lasts for us. But we got a lot of very important things to get to today. We're gonna save all your great emails and your not so sharp moments for next week, because we got a very important thing. And I will admit, before we get started, that we haven't talked very much on the show about the Great American Outdoors Act. And that was not on purpose. That was not something that we were avoiding. And we are going to rectify the fact that we have not covered that in detail on the show up until now with this conversation with Lan and a couple of things you're going to hear about in a minute. And we're going to announce a pretty cool contest that we've got going for all of you. But before that, Lan, give us an update. What was the weekend? How are you feeling? Where's your head at?
Man, I got out on our public lands and public waters this weekend. I was on Bureau of Land Management land. I was on Forest Service land. Floated the river with my kids. My daughter's mend is freaking awesome. And I just wish we would have caught more fish, but got the head straight, I think, this weekend, or found some solace. And now, you know, we're back at it. And momentum continues to build in the house for this Great American Outdoors Act. So I'm stoked about that.
How many co-sponsors do they have now, Lan?
We're at 173, I believe.
Wow, that's great to hear.
That's good. That is good news. Great news. Yeah, we're going to talk in detail here about, you know, why the issue of public lands and waters has become so bipartisan. And I will tell you in preview that Senator Heinrich said directly that this group, our group, BHA, has had a huge impact on how the Congress thinks about and acts towards public lands, something that used to be a very partisan issue, is now not so much. But we also are not going to rest on our laurels. We want to kind of get an update on where this legislation is and what we need to do to get it across the finish line. So, Lane, can you give us just a quick update on where we are with the legislation? Sure. I've Sam talk a little bit about its importance.
Yeah, so I'll start with the importance. So the Great American Outdoors Act combines two amazing things. The first is the Land and Water Conservation Fund. It's the number one access tool that we have in this country. It's been around since 1964, been used in every single county in America, all the way from soccer fields and swimming pools to fishing access sites to large kind of purchases for conservation and for access. So what we have there is dedicated and full funding, the Land and Water Conservation Fund, making due on the promise that we that Congress kind of made to the American people back in 64. So $900 million a year, which is pretty rad. And then we have this backlog of maintenance that's being addressed. So there's about $1.9 billion a year for 5 years that comes in for maintenance. So ultimately, that's about $9.5 billion over 5 years to like help, you know, maintain national parks, Bureau of Land Management, Forest Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, these lands that really we have not funded correctly. And so now they need a big investment, I would say. And so that's the combination of the two bills. Super excited that these two things came together. Came through clean in the Senate. It happened pretty quickly. We got a vote of 73 to 25 in the Senate, which is just awesome because it just shows the bipartisan fashion. That's overwhelming majority, which is great. And now that we have moved into the House, it is exactly the same bill, which is absolutely important. If we get amendments added to this through this process, I think it probably sinks the whole thing. So we have to keep it clean, which so far is being done. And we've got, I think I said 173 co-sponsors. I misspoke. I just looked at my notes and we had another three come in today. So we're at 176, most recent being Congressman Upton from Michigan, Republican, which is awesome. So the idea is that we're probably going to have a vote either the week of the 20th of July or the week of the 27th. So they're going to be on 4th of July recess, and then they're going to come back, got some other business to do. But that is really Mr. Hoyer, who is the majority leader in the House, has said that they will schedule time those last 2 weeks. So we're looking for, you know, to try to get to this 280 people as co-sponsors, which would make that a supermajority, which would make sure that this thing passed. Also, it could be done under suspension, which means that you could suspend the rules and we wouldn't have to worry about amendments and we could go right to the floor. So that is kind of a lot that I just said, but I guess the overall gist is we're in a pretty good place right now. And the only reason is because people all across this country have stepped up. And now is the time to continue to voice your opinion to make sure that we can get this thing over the finish line.
Yeah, I love it. And I do know that, you know, there's been a lot of language around this bill, landmark legislation, once in a lifetime package. There's a lot of things that we've said that I really want people to understand why it is that this is so important. You know, why Ryan Callahan called it once in a lifetime on our website in a piece that Sam wrote. I mean, why is it that land that this is once in a lifetime? Why should we be so heightened around this thing getting through?
Yeah, I think I would really look at the Land and Water Conservation Fund there. Is that, you know, this, you know, $900 million a year, think about what we can do for access, think about what we can do for conservation with that money. And to me, you know, that's something that we pay forward for generations to come. It would take an act of Congress to repeal that, which, you know, I think would be very tough to do. So back in 1964, when they originally, you know, set this up, that was the idea. But Congress has not been fully funding Land and Water Conservation Fund at $900 million. It enjoys around $400 a year on average. And so this will be more than double that. And to me, you know, again, far into the future, this is paying for, you know, opportunities for our kids to get out, for their kids to get out. It's giving us parks and pools, but then these large scale conservation places. And I would say that just around here in Missoula, my hometown, like I can't throw a rock very far without hitting a Land and Water Conservation Fund project. And, you know, the idea of what that can do for every county in America, that's just like, it's historic. And what they did in 64 was historic, but they should have made it dedicated funding and they didn't do that. And so that's what we're doing. You know, as a people, right now. And I think, you know, that by itself is absolutely historic.
Yeah. And Sam, you've been covering this for Mediator.com. You've written upwards of 3 or 4 articles about this as this kind of was first introduced and then has kind of made its way through Congress and has landed where it does today. Like, what's your perspective on where we are right now and what we need to do? Because I know we've talked about internally in the office that we really need to keep the pedal to the metal right now with this.
Yeah, my perspective, Ben, is just, you know, overwhelming enthusiasm. You know, I worked under Land for 5 years and got to listen to him talk about, you know, fully funding and reauthorizing LWCF. I got to hear him talk about that on a daily basis. So, frankly, I'm stoked for his staff to, you know, give them something, you know, give him a new drum to beat. But jokes aside, like this is a huge deal. And, you know, as many of us experience every weekend, like we just, you know, even here in Montana, we don't have enough trailheads and fishing access points. There's so many places, you know, we've got salmon fly hatches going on right now. And I was just warning one of our coworkers about going to a particular river that he'd be able to walk downstream from boat to boat if he wanted to. So, you know, more places for people to recreate. I think we're going to see a growth in outdoor recreation and engagement, you know, following this pandemic. And that this does exactly that. It provides places for people to go, more boat launches, more trailheads, more parks, and, you know, and that helps us social distance as well, because so many of those places get really packed up. And, you know, Land, as Ben mentioned, I've been covering this for our website for quite a while, but that means I've also had a lot of the questions directed towards me, and many of them are very good, and I sometimes struggle to know how to respond. And, you know, one that I think is particularly worth noting, and I'd love to hear your take on, is in some people's mind, the two elements of this act kind of exist in opposition to one another. On one hand, we're saying we're going to be getting all this money to buy more public lands. That's what the LWCF does. By and large, it provides for land acquisition. But, you know, the other element acknowledges the fact that we have not been financially capable of properly managing all the public lands that we already have. And, you know, there's a vocal insurrection in the House. There's some 20 representatives who are dead set against this, who are making that point very loudly right now. And I just love to hear your perspective on whether or not there even is any conflict between those two elements of this act, or how do you respond when people ask you that question?
Yeah, that's great, Sam. And, you know, I think what's awesome is that people are diving deep into this. You know, I think this is the education around Land and Water Conservation Fund has been absolutely just amazing over the last, I'd say, 5-6 years. And, you know, people on the ground know more and more about it every day. I guess I'd answer it probably in two ways. First one is that, you know, you've already referenced, you know, like even Montana doesn't have enough access. There are folks all across this country, private landowners, that are ready to do deals. They want to make sure that their land stays the way it is and then provide access in perpetuity for the people of America. And this bill really provides certainty for that. And, you know, without that certainty, maybe that gets subdivided. Maybe that gets sold to somebody that's not going to open it up access wise. And so these opportunities are really on the table now. And we need to take advantage of those, because in the future, who knows if they'll be there. So that's the first place I would say.
And those primarily conservation easements that you're referencing there?
Absolutely. And, like, you know, and I think that, you know, when you look at like maybe some of these larger purchases, you know, again, like without this opportunity, again, who gets those? And, you know, here in Montana, very famously, you know, the Wilkes brothers are now the largest landowner in Montana, and they have more money than, you know, anybody in America almost. And so they're just buying anything that they can. And so, like, that gets privatized. The animals get privatized. You and I don't have access to that. The public doesn't have access to that. And we all lose. And so, to me, again, this is about taking advantage of opportunities. That's the first way I would say it. And the pressures are probably even higher now than they ever have been. The second piece is this argument that gets brought up time and time again, and whether that's, you know, by congressman or, you know, Mr. Lee in the Senate is famous for doing this, saying, hey, we don't have enough money to take care of what we have already. And to me, you know, part of that answer is correct. But the reason that answer is correct is because Congress has been systematically defunding our public lands. And so right now, like, think about like that Toyota you bought, Sam. And every year you got to be doing an oil change. You got to be getting the tune-ups. And like at, you know, a certain amount of miles, you got to do something. You're investing in your truck all the time. We have not done a good job of doing those regular kind of oil changes and tune-ups that we need to. And so now we have to invest this $9.5 billion. It's like buying a brand new engine. And so that is where we've kind of been. Like, that's where we've gotten to this point where we have to invest that much money. But going forward, hopefully the momentum that we have from, I guess, the education and the engagement of the grassroots, that we will help Congress fund our public lands in a better way. You know, when you starve the body, it of course gets sick, and then you want to throw that baby out. And to me, that's been systematic by Congress and by people that do not like public lands, that want to privatize them for themselves. So when people say that we can't take care of what we already have, I call hogwash on that, and really say we haven't invested like we should because of, you know, public lands, you know, whether that's the $887 billion that the outdoor economy provides, whether that's for Land and Water Conservation Fund in particular, that's like a 3-to-1 match. Like, this is an investment that goes forward that can help us in our economy and the health of our people, like, in perpetuity. And so to me, that argument is pretty hollow.
That's a great response. I appreciate that. And thank you for putting it in terms of my truck. You know, I only got that thing because I thought yours was so cool. Yeah, no, that really makes it resonate. And that's something I've been trying to translate efficiently to our audience who's been asking questions. And you know, Lan, continuing with those tricky questions, you know, many people have also asked, like, you know, yes, this is great. We need this funding. We need to fix potholes in national parks and restrooms in national forests. But you know, some people are also concerned about the source of that funding. You know, it's coming from almost directly from the destruction of certain public lands. And how comfortable are you with the fact that this is all funded through oil and natural gas extraction on public lands? And do you think that this bill promotes those efforts or will in any way expand them? I've heard a lot of people express a lot of concern that this promotes a future that is further tied to oil and natural gas.
That's a great question. So, you know, I think that let's go back to the original promise in 1964. So as offshore, you know, development, especially in the Gulf of Mexico, is starting to be much more robust, you know, Congress got together and they said, you know, we're taking away from one resource. Let's give back to another as we're doing that. And I think, you know, again, when you look at the history of the Land and Water Conservation Fund, that has happened. And so the idea that then that has spurred more development, you know, I think that development is already happening. And we should do our best to mitigate kind of the impacts from that development. And then again, pay it forward. You know, I think that's what the original promise was in 64. And I think that's what's being talked about today, is really trying to pay it forward. So that development is going to happen. You know, this legislation, I don't think, like, increases those efforts. And what we're trying to do is make sure that we get what I think is promised to the American people.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for answering those. And I think it's important that we all continue to, you know, have clear eyes with this as we move forward.
Absolutely.
And acknowledge these concerns that people have, because, you know, some very prominent congressmen are sharing some of these concerns. And I think the more we can do as a conservation community to allay those, will just make this easier for everyone to swallow and be a more unifying piece of legislation.
Yeah, I guess, Sam, the only other thing I would say is, like, pay attention to who these congressmen are, because these congressmen that are speaking up are also the same congressmen that, you know, think that public lands should be privatized. And so, you know, this is, like, some of the arguments they're coming up with, while I think have some merit and we need to discuss them, like they're prophetizing those because they ultimately don't like public lands. They ultimately think that this awesome legacy that we enjoy here in the United States of America, and that we're very close to the 4th of July and, you know, celebrating our independence, and there's nothing more American, I don't think, than our public lands. They ultimately do not believe in our public lands. And to me, you know, that showed in that Senate vote, you know, when you have like people like Senator Cruz, Senator Mike Lee, Senator Rand Paul, like those folks fundamentally talk about all the time their dislike for public lands. And so always like when you hear those messages, remember who they're coming from.
Absolutely. And I'm highly aware of who is standing in opposition to this. But, you know, I still receive these questions on nearly a daily basis. So I'm trying to figure out good ways to respond to people who are generally inclined to support public lands. And I think most, you know, the vast majority of hunters and anglers in this country are. But, you know, we get a lot of crosswise messaging and all factors of life anymore.
Totally. Totally. No, I appreciate it.
For sure. And I mean, this is one thing that, you know, we should cover here that, you know, that's key, is that this legislation establishes the National Parks and Public Lands Legacy Fund. And for anybody, you know, we live at the, you know, just north of one of the most beautiful national parks in this country, probably the most beautiful, the jewel of the West, which is Yellowstone National Park. And this fund would direct $9.5 million in non-taxpayer monies. I believe those are mineral receipts. Correct me if I'm wrong. And I also believe that's over, like, there's over 5 years that this is going to happen, and that it's going to address repairs to these national parks, other public lands, as we've said. So, I mean, there's just things about this that, to me, if we really love and care about these places, that we should support. There's never going to be no opposition to this. But as you'll hear in a moment from Senator Heinrich and Representative Stivers from Ohio, this is becoming a thing where that pushback is in its own echo chamber. That the Congress, the Senate, that we've already seen with the vote, the Senate has been emboldened to make this a bicameral, bipartisan issue, which is the thing that anybody, Phil, will know because of my politics and because of what I talk about, that anything that's bipartisan, I love to dance around and shout from the rooftop. So that's that's part of why I wanted to do this entire episode and why I wanted to, you know, talk about this issue. And we have, you mentioned this land, and we should return to it really quickly. The House will put this up for vote, and then it will go to the president, then it will be signed into law. We think the House vote is, are you thinking the end of July, roughly, is what we're thinking right now?
Yeah, we're thinking like that week of the 20th or the week of the 27th. You know, and the president has come out, like he came out earlier this spring, right before COVID hit. And if COVID hadn't happened, I think this thing would be done right now. But he came out and said, you know, get full and dedicated funding for the Land and Water Conservation Fund on my desk and I will sign it. And so all indications are that he will sign it. And again, we could party like it's 1999.
Yeah, and we want this to happen before the election, well before the election. Because we don't want this issue to lag into that quagmire. And the fact that our president is behind it and will sign it, we want that sucker on his desk as soon as possible. So for those of you that have not been active in this yet, have not made any phone calls, have not talked to your representatives, wherever you're from, Land, can you kind of give people what they can do right now to help us get this thing across, to really pressure the House to get it through and get that majority?
Totally. So I think there's a couple of things people can do. I think the most important thing you can do is make a phone call. And, you know, I think some people are intimidated by that. But really, you call this switchboard, which is 202-224-3121. You give them your zip code and then they connect you to that office. And it's very simple. You can ask them to become a co-sponsor of the Great American Outdoors Act and make sure it gets passed with no amendments. And that's, you're literally going to talk to a staffer that's keeping score. And, you know, we've been talking a lot to congressional members and, you know, they are keeping score. They call it a hot list and they get that list at the end of the day every day. and they're getting their phones blown up right now, and that needs to continue. So again, that number is 202-224-3121. And telephone calls definitely, I think, rate higher than emails, but another way to get this done is through email. And so through email, we have a Take Action Center at Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Just go to our website, which is backcountryhunters.org. There's a Take Action Center there. We make it very easy for you. You can tailor make it if you want, but there's a kind of a ready cookie cutter piece in there that you can send. Do that, and then I know that you got this new contest that you talked about, and I think that awareness around the Land and Water Conservation Fund is just vitally important right now as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is basically a telethon. That's what we're putting on right now.
Absolutely.
Get on the damn phones and call your people.
You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. Hey, Steve here. I want to talk about something crucial for any outdoor enthusiast, which is battery reliability. I've got Interstate batteries powering my gear. I have Interstate batteries in my camper. I run an Interstate battery in my boats. I use Interstate batteries because the last thing I want is to be left powerless. Interstate batteries isn't just another battery company. They are outrageously dependable. In Alaska, the boat dealer that we use for getting stuff and repairs, he uses Interstate. Whether you're gearing up for hunting season, planning your next RV trip, or getting your boat ready, Interstate has the battery for all your needs. With over 150,000 dealer locations, the power you need is always nearby. Interstate batteries aren't just about power. It's about being prepared for any situation. Don't let a dead battery ruin your adventure. Head over to interstatebatteries.com, use their store locator, and equip yourself with a battery that won't let you down. When you're out in the wild or just on your daily commute, an Interstate battery is your key to a dependable journey.
I wanted to do a little something for all of you that are listening, and because Phil will know that when I ask people to do something for a prize, they get on it. Hundreds of you, nay, thousands of you, drew pictures of Phil based on his voice.
Yeah, and there better be more phone calls to senators and representatives right now than there were drawings of me.
There was a lot of drawings of you, and they were really good.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was so happy about when I got back to the office was that I could once again see the pictures of Phil, because they are still, and they are still now pasted over your desk, right?
Still there.
I was just marveling at them a moment ago.
Yes, great work. So now we've built up this confidence in our audience. You guys, over quarantine, before my re-quarantine occurrence, you guys have drawn hand turkeys. On my desk is an actual hand turkey that one of our great listeners made. Alec Acock made a hand turkey out of fly fishing material and put it in like a custom wood frame. And so I am definitely going to create a THC Hall of Fame at the office and annoy all my coworkers with adding to it, making it as gaudy as possible. And so, in turn, we want to announce the Great American LWCF Challenge. And this is because I know you all are creative sons of bitches, and you will absolutely do whatever we ask to win prizes. That's part of it. But the other part of it is I know you're conservationists and you care about this message. And if you haven't acted yet, and for some reason you don't have a phone, you can do this and maybe win something. So I'm Phil, are you tracking me so far? I need to explain what exactly we're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think I see where you're going, but continue.
Are you inspired yet? Have we said enough? Has Lance said enough? Has Sam said enough to get you to call your representative?
Absolutely. I mean, as if hanging around Ryan Callahan didn't do it. This definitely did.
Yeah. Well, if can you start growing your mustache back and maybe only shave it off when this passes, the bill passes?
Well, we'll talk about that after the show, but I'm more than happy to call my rep.
All right. Well, that's enough for me. All right. Well, if anybody on the phone, if you ever been to the LWCF Coalition website, I was surfing around there the other day and they have a map of everywhere that the LWCF funds have gone, or at least all that they have tracked. Is there any place else, Lan, that you know of that people can find all of the sites that have received LWCF funds in recent years?
I think that's the most comprehensive, and so I would send people there. Some states have done a good job on their own, like state agency websites doing this, but I would go to that LWCF.org, and their coalition page is just absolutely awesome, and it's pretty user-friendly.
Yeah, so if you go to their website, they have a map of LWCF there, so you can just search LWCF Coalition map of LWCF. It will pull up an interactive map. You can go to your state. You can find the sites where LWCF dollars have gone. Now, this is important because it's a key part of the contest. You got to do some investigative work out there. We're just not going to give you stuff for nothing. You got to find places in your state, your region, your local area where LWCF has made an impact. And then what you're going to do, the first thing you're going to do is travel by bus, by car, by hot air balloon. I don't really care how you get there. You go to that one of these sites. It could be a pool, a park, a wildlife refuge, a piece of BLM ground. It doesn't matter where you go. Just go there. Then when you get there, the first thing you're going to do is have a good time. You're going to recreate. You're going to swim. You're going to fish. You're going to hike. Whatever you do, have a good time. And then at some point during your good time, you're going to make some art. You're going to make a music video, a creative image. You're going to do some sort of dance. You're going to write a poem and recite it to us. You're going to create some sort of media that makes me and Phil and Sam and Lan think you're one of the most awesome conservationists ever. Otto Leopold has nothing on you. And we're going to vote on the best piece of art created on an LWCF-funded site. Does that all make sense, Phil? Are you tracking me, buddy?
I gotcha. I think it's a great idea.
That's all I needed to hear. Land, what do you feel about this idea?
Well, I think it's awesome. And I'm thinking in my own head, like, am I eligible? Like, I think I want to go do this with my kids.
Yes, I want you to do it. Senator Martin Heinrich, I think, promised that he would do it. If he didn't, I'm promising for him right now. I know he's a busy man. But that's all you really need to do. Have fun with it. The most creative entry will win via vote on this podcast. This is not a social media contest, but I'm sure if you create some awesome art, you'll want to put it on social media. If you do, tag me, tag Lantani, tag BHA. Make sure we see this. But the only way to win is to send your submission to thc@themeateater.com. As always, this is a podcast contest. Because you listen, you have a chance to win. So thc@themeateater.com. You have 2 weeks to do this. So on episode 134, we will announce the winner, and hopefully all of you can join in on something that's fun. Actually, I just made a mistake, Phil. There's multiple winners, man. We have three different prizes to give out here. For the most creative entry, we got a First Light kit, pair of pants, base layer, outerwear piece. I'll work with you to select it. I have my suggestions, but we'll work with you. We have a Nemo one-person spike tent for the second most creative, and for the third most creative, Vortex Diamondback HD 15x56 binos. And so we got some work to do, Lantani.
Dude, I love that package setup, and I was going to do it anyways, but now I'm going to get after it with my kids.
Yeah, you get after it. I'm going to get after it. I'm going to make Phil go with me somewhere, and we're going to make the most awkward social distance music video, maybe. Maybe a dance routine. What are you feeling, Phil? What are you feeling, buddy?
Can't wait, man. Looking forward to it.
Sam, you got any ideas for what me and Phil could do?
I mean, I'm loving music video, hip-hop dance number. Yes, would really do it. And you know, just a note to the audience, I'm just personally very aware of how much your drawings of Phil warmed Ben's heart previously. So I don't want to interfere with anybody's artistic process here, but if you were thinking about doing a visual art piece, including your personal, you know, mental image of Phil and how much he would be enjoying being in that public place with you, I mean, that's just, you know, one step closer to Ben's heart than anything else I can think of. That's just my two cents. Music video for you guys to be certain.
Ben, how about we recreate the dirty dancing dance on like a lakeside somewhere?
Yeah, are you holding me up?
Yeah, of course.
You're Swayze?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
No way. He has the Swayze look, Ben. Come on.
He did get a haircut. It does look nice.
And the first thing to flash through my head is like, Ben couldn't hold up Phil.
But can Phil hold up Ben?
Of course.
Probably. Yeah. I'm looking at those guns right now.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. All right. Well, I'm certain I don't have COVID, but I'm going to get tested. So, Phil, as soon as I'm clear, I'm coming for you, and we're going to do something extremely creative, okay?
Good luck. Yes, looking forward to it. Thanks.
I'm kidding. Phil just sent me RIP about my COVID test, RIP. But anyway, you have to, again, if you just rewind, if you want to hear this all again, this is important to me. Again, it's important to all of us that we raise awareness for this really cool piece of legislation. It's not even really cool. It's monumental. It's landmark. It's something that we might not see again in this generation or maybe even the next. So we're going to have fun with this. We're going to be as silly and as crazy as we need to be. But it stands to reason that the more we talk about this, the more that we push this wherever we can, the better chances we have of being able to look back a year from now and saying, hey, we helped make this happen. And I can tell you from what you're about to hear from our congressman, this is making a difference, which is warms my heart. Anything else, Lantani?
I guess I'd just follow up on what you just said. I mean, like, you know, a lot of people don't think their voice counts in this country anymore. And it absolutely doesn't if you don't use it. And this is an example of your voice actually counting. Like, thinking about all the things that are going on in this country right now, and the Senate passes this, and now we're moving on to the House. Like, this is vitally important because you all have made a difference. And like, to me, you know, we got the finish line in sight, and it's time to put the pedal down so that we can celebrate again like it's 1999.
I love it. Well, to help us along here, I wanted to make sure that we had a bipartisan show of support for this legislation, and we wanted to highlight some individuals that are absolutely helping us on the floor get this done. We've already mentioned them. Senator Martin Heinrich, the great state of New Mexico, a friend of BHA, a friend of Meat Eaters, an all-around legitimate outdoorsman, hunter, angler, everything. I chatted with him, and then Republican Steve Stivers from the 15th District in Ohio. And again, we wanted to make sure we talked to both sides of the aisle about why this was important. And as you listen to these two interviews, remember that these two, in a time, as Lance said, that's divided, at this time that's very partisan, here are two individuals that are united around this legislation and around what it means. So I think it's really good to listen closely to what they have to say and how it kind of mirrors each other. And so rather than just call this the congressional switchboard, we called actual congressmen. And so now listen to those folks. First, Senator Heinrich, and then after him, you'll hear Congressman Steve Stivers. Enjoy.
Senator Heinrich, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. That's can great. See the light at the end of the tunnel here.
How are things in New Mexico?
Things in New Mexico are great. Unfortunately, I'm sitting at my desk in Washington at the moment, but I'm looking forward to getting back for a couple weeks over at the 4th of July and hoping to see the house move with Great American Outdoors in that work session. So I plan on heading over to the house floor and exercising my old house privileges.
Well, I'd love to talk to you about hunting and fishing. We could trade a lot of stories, and I know Steve Rinella was just down in New Mexico and we were talking about oryx, but we do need to get serious and talk about the Great American Outdoors Act. And I think the easiest question, and I think I know what your answer is going to be, but I want everybody to hear it, is why do you believe in this legislation, and what do you think it's going to do for Americans that love to recreate outside?
Honestly, I think this is the biggest conservation accomplishment, and it's obviously not, the ink's not dry until it's done. It's not done. But of anything I've worked on in my entire career, much of it's been incremental, or it's been very specific to a certain area in a certain state or a certain national forest. And this is a systemic effort to improve not only our ability to protect landscapes, but also to do the kind of access programs that you can really only fund through land and water conservation funds. So this is the biggest systemic conservation effort that I've been a part of. And it's, frankly, I think it's of the scale of that we haven't seen for many, many decades.
Did you feel, you know, the Land and Water Conservation Fund is kind of this at the center of this legislation in many ways, as with the maintenance backlog addressing that. Can you just talk about LWCF? I know people that listen to this show and that are members of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers will have a good idea of it, but I'd love to just kind of hear your explanation of LWCF.
Yeah, so LWCF, Land and Water Conservation Fund, was set up in the early 60s, around 1964, when offshore oil and gas development was first really getting started. And the idea was very simple. It was to say, this is a non-renewable resource, and we're taking something, so we should dedicate part of that to giving back to the outdoors and to spend those dollars in ways that create public lands and public waters and access to the places in the outdoors that we love. And it was an incredible idea. It's been an incredibly successful program. It ranges from buying properties that become national parks or new wildlife refuges to buying soccer fields in small towns.
Yeah, specifically in your state, New Mexico, what have you seen the LWCF do, and what do you hope that it might do in the future when it gets fully funded?
Boy, I'll give you a couple of incredible examples in New Mexico, and the one I always think back to is the Valles Caldera, because Valles Caldera is a big volcanic caldera in the northern part of the state. It is, a lot of people call it New Mexico's Yellowstone, because it's the same kind of collapsed super volcano. And then you have these high elevation rolling meadows surrounded by volcanic peaks. And it's home to one of the biggest elk herds in the state. It's home to hot springs as well as cold water fisheries. It's just a really special place. And as early as the 19-teens, there were New Mexico senators who wanted to make it a national park. I was part of a group that actually passed legislation to make it a National Park Service preserve, to preserve the hunting and fishing, as well as to have the, the marquee of having the Park Service manage it. Never would have been possible without the Land and Water Conservation Fund. And then we have examples like the Sabinosa Wilderness that were literally landlocked. A similar situation to what you might think of with the crazy mountains in Montana. No real public access, not even a walk-in easement from 30 years ago. And we were able to get the public back into that landscape using Land and Water Conservation Fund dollars. So it really is an amazingly important program for your average kid who just wants to be able to go play stickball someplace, to somebody who relies on these public lands to fill their freezer and feed their family.
Yeah, it's so vast, the impact of this bill. We're asking our listeners in this episode to go find a place near them. You know, we're going to provide a map that the Land and Water Conservation Fund Coalition has on their website and ask people to go out, find a place that's been funded or impacted by LWCF and go recreate there, take a photo, do something really cool. And then, you know, and to get this idea that this is so ubiquitous, it is everywhere. In fact, my son, there's a dinosaur park in Bozeman that my son loves to play at. And there's a big sign right in front that says this is funded by LWCF. So it's a good point that you make that there's so many things from swimming pools to parks, you know, outside of the things you and I love to do outside in hunting and fishing.
Yeah, no, it's a continuum. And when you give kids the opportunity to fall in love with the outdoors, then they grow up. And, you know, I myself was an adult onset hunter. I didn't start really getting serious and relying on hunting and fishing to fill the freezer until I was late 20s, early 30s, probably. But I had that love from places that were close to me when I was a kid. And I really think that every kid across this country needs to have that opportunity if we're going to have a generation that wants to steward these places when we're all gone.
Yeah, incredibly important. And it has become, you know, in the vote in the Senate, there were 73 A's and 25 nays. So there was, I think probably in this political climate, you would agree that this issue has become bipartisan. Do you guys talk about that within Congress, about how this issue seems to be a unifying issue? It seems to be bipartisan. By the votes and the actions.
It is bipartisan, and it wasn't always so much that way. If you went back to 2010, public lands were more partisan. And I mean, I viscerally had a negative reaction to that when I got to Congress and saw how public lands were really a battle for various think tanks on the left and right in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was like, I don't care what part of the political spectrum you're on in New Mexico, you use these places. They're the places that your family goes to on the weekends. And, you know, there was really, I think, a concerted effort, and sportsmen were a critical part of it over the last 10 years to regain that American center, because there's nothing more democratic in my view than public lands. It doesn't matter how thick or thin your wallet is. You get to go out and use these places. You know, whether you're a bird watcher or whether you want to put an elk in your freezer, it doesn't matter. They're yours. They're your birthright. And we, as a result, I think we've really regained a strong bipartisan coalition that represents where America is today, from hunting and fishing groups to many other user groups, all came together to make this possible and to give people like me the political momentum to work with my colleagues on the other side of the aisle to get this over the finish line.
Yeah. Well, we've always appreciated you coming to the rendezvous and being a part of content like this and helping us really understand what we can do. And so, you know, other than calling a congressional switchboard and talking about this, as we mentioned, you know, I was just talking to Lantani, he's been on with us, and we were just saying, we want to get this over the finish line. We know everyone's very confident. I'm assuming you're confident as well, but, you know, kind of give us take a temperature of where you are right now with this as we go the House vote and then signature by President Trump.
You know, I feel really good about the prospects for the House vote, but I'm also very paranoid because I've been in Washington, D.C. long enough to know that things can go sideways for completely unexpected reasons, having nothing to do with the issue at hand or that you're trying to get passed. And so I think just keeping everyone focused on the importance of this, continuing to reinforce for all of those members, you know, whether you're in southwestern Idaho or northeastern New Mexico or anywhere in between, like just keeping the calls coming in and really giving people the motivation to know that this is a part of history that they can be part of and be proud of long after they've done their service in Washington.
Yeah, it's been good to see, even within the hunting industry, for all the conservation organizations to be behind this, from the Sheep Foundation to BHA, all the way to Boone and Crockett Club. Everybody's expressed their support. So it's good to see that coalition, in a sense, come together and be able to really affect and make your job easier. So
No question.
I wish we could trade what we're doing this fall. Actually, we'll take some time for that. What are you doing this fall? What big hunts, anything you're excited to tell people about?
Well, I did not do too well in my draw in New Mexico. So for the first time, I am planning a trip to Alaska for caribou, a bit of a father-son trip. And so,
that's great.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
That's great. Yeah, I didn't do so well, but it's nice to know that even senators have problems in the tag draw. So just like the rest of us. But I'm glad to hear you're going north with your son and that you're there supporting what we love here at this show. And everybody at Meat Eater always wants me to say thank you to you for all that you do for us and for supporting our lifestyle and all the conservationists out there that are fighting to get this through. So, Senator, thank you so much.
Thank you guys, because you really have changed the dynamic. It's so much easier to do these things in a bipartisan way. And I think because you represent people from such a diversity of states, it really has changed the dynamic on the ground in Congress. And I'm grateful to all the folks who follow you because they're part of that.
Yeah, it's been huge for us to see from the east to the south to the north to, you know, to your home state of New Mexico that we've been able to, you know, just tell people that this stuff matters and you can make a difference in a time where most people don't feel that in other aspects of our culture and society.
Yeah,
so
exactly right.
This is a good moment for this bill. I'm happy that we're pushing it and we're going to continue to kind of get the word out and talking to everybody we can.
Great. Thanks for having me, Ben.
Thank you, Senator.
You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land? Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Hey, Steve here. I want to talk about something crucial for any outdoor enthusiast, which is battery reliability. I've got Interstate batteries powering my gear. I have Interstate batteries in my camper. I run an Interstate battery in my boats. I use Interstate batteries because the last thing I want is to be left powerless. Interstate batteries isn't just another battery company. They are outrageously dependable. In Alaska, the boat dealer that we use for getting stuff and repairs, he uses Interstate. Whether you're gearing up for hunting season, planning your next RV trip, or getting your boat ready, Interstate has the battery for all your needs. With over 150,000 dealer locations, the power you need is always nearby. Interstate batteries aren't just about power. It's about being prepared for any situation. Don't let a dead battery ruin your adventure. Head over to interstatebatteries.com, use their store locator, and equip yourself with a battery that won't let you down. When you're out in the wild or just on your daily commute, an Interstate battery is your key to a dependable journey.
Representative Stivers, how are you today, sir?
Hey, I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're not doing too bad here in Montana. I'm here with Sam Lunger, my colleague. We are doing a podcast and covering the Great American Outdoors Act. We're excited that it's gotten its way to the House, but we are still pushing hard to make sure it gets all the way to the president's desk. So I wanted to catch up with you and talk a little bit about the legislation. I guess we'll give you, we'll start with an easy one. Why did you co-sponsor the bill, or why did you sponsor the bill and put it into the House?
Well, one of the reasons I'm one of the original co-sponsors is the Land and Water Conservation Fund. It works. It's a great public-private partnership that allows for conservation, allows people to use our public lands and get access to the great outdoors. And I'm lucky in my district to have some really cool places like the Wayne National Forest and the Hocking Hills that are amazing. I was a Boy Scout growing up, so the outdoors have always had a really important place in my heart and in my life. And so I wanted to make sure that everybody has access to the great outdoors. And, you know, we have in our national parks a $20 billion maintenance backlog right now. There's all kinds of things that need to get done. And so I thought it was really important that we have permanent funding for the Land and Water Conservation Fund because it works. And so I'm excited to be one of the original co-sponsors. Just yesterday, the Republican leader, Kevin McCarthy, announced his endorsement of the bill, which is a big deal.
Awesome.
And earlier in the week, Steny Hoyer announced that he would bring the bill up for a vote near the end of July. Originally, we were hoping that we might actually get the bill on a suspension vote. It sounds like from what the majority leader, Steny Hoyer, announced, he's going to bring it up under a rule vote. That's okay. You know, it still passes. In fact, under a rule, it's easier to pass. It only needs 218 votes versus 290 votes. And I feel confident that we'll have over 300 votes on this bill. So we're working hard every day. I'm texting and calling my colleagues to get more co-sponsors every day. And I feel really good about our chances to get this done. And, you know, right now, given COVID-19 and everything that's going on, people are yearning for the great outdoors, and it's an incredible economic boon for our economy too. If you just look at my district, people spent $1.37 billion last year on outdoor recreation. That's a big deal. And, you know, last year, 1 million Ohioans purchased either hunting licenses or fishing licenses. So we got a lot of hunters and anglers in Ohio.
Yeah. Well, that's, really, we just want to partly say thank you for pushing so hard at this. You know, all the way from Montana, this means it's something to every American that likes to go outside, as you mentioned. Why do you think this is such a bipartisan effort? This can be in such a polarized time. We're now looking at a great piece of legislation that's bicameral and bipartisan. Have you talked about that with your colleagues? Have you guys discussed that? Or why do you think you're so confident?
Yeah, I have. And I think it's... Yeah, I think it's the fact that, like I said, so many people already understand and appreciate the great outdoors, and there's so many people that are yearning to be outdoors given what we're all trying to cope with on the coronavirus and everything else, that it's something like this that, that can bring people together in the House and the Senate, Republicans and Democrats, and I think it's something that's great for every American, so it's pretty easy.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. We really appreciate you carrying the water there for us. We've been publishing a lot about this bill, and we're just really excited about it. You know, we've been fans of LWCF for a long time, and it's great to see money actually going towards restoring some of these parks and places. And you know, you kind of already answered my question a little bit here about why now. But I'd also love to hear you talk about kind of the jobs aspect of this, because I've heard a lot of optimism expressed that in a time of, what is it now, 13% national unemployment, like what do you think this legislation could do to address that issue?
Well, I think it can encourage and help people understand that they can go enjoy the great outdoors. People are this summer with, you know, a lot of public pools closed. Things are not back to normal yet. You know, the camps that my daughter and son were going to go to got canceled this summer. So I think we're going to be going to the Wayne National Forest and the Hocking Hills this summer. The Hocking Hills State Parks just opened back up. And so we're going to be enjoying the great outdoors ourselves. And I think a lot of people can do that. And when they do that, like I said, last year, people spent 1.37 $3.7 billion in my district alone. I expect that number will actually be higher this year. And, you know, we've got great folks that support that in my district. Polaris makes a lot of side-by-side motorsport vehicles and that people can enjoy in the Wayne National Forest. We've got Rocky Boots, which is a boot manufacturer in Nelsonville, Ohio, in my district. So not only does it support jobs of the people at these venues, but it supports jobs because people, you know, might go get a new set of boots to go when they go out hiking or something like that. So it supports a bunch of jobs and the RV and motorsports sectors too, which I think are really important. A lot of people that enjoy the backcountry enjoy it in motorized vehicles.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great to hear. We'd all love to see more people getting back to work. I know that's sure some hard times going on across the country. You know, one thing I'd love to discuss with you is that there's a vocal minority emerging in the House that is in pretty serious opposition to this bill. I know it's not a whole heck of a lot of representatives, and you said that you thought you'd probably have 300 votes. That's amazing to hear. But, you know, I imagine you've had conversations with some of those congressmen, and I just love to hear about how those conversations have gone and, what we can all do as a community to address some of those concerns.
Yeah. So there are some folks in the areas, Louisiana, the offshore areas that want some of the offshore drilling revenue shares changed with their states. Those are, so it's states in the Gulf Coast mostly that I've heard some concerns about, and we can work through some of those issues. We have some, I think there may be a way to get to an answer that makes those folks happy and still gets this done because it's really important.
Yeah, are there ways that you envision that it doesn't get done? I know we're confident here, but we've been talking with Lantani from Backcountry Hunters and Anglers and some other folks, and we're just trying to make sure people understand that we're not across the finish line yet. Some ways to go. I know your confidence level is high, but what's the concern, if any?
Well, the other concern out there is, we've got some folks who I think are worried that this will lead to kind of a land grab, but the LWCF has always been a willing buyer, willing seller market. I think we can address those concerns too. I'm not concerned. People start out with some issues, but I feel confident we'll get well over 300 supporters of this bill before it makes it through the House. You know, there was a solid vote in the Senate. That was great to see. And, we can certainly figure that out here in the House, and I feel confident we'll get this thing done. Like any bill, it takes work, but luckily a bunch of us who are working on this aren't scared of work. The president supports this bill and is looking forward to signing it, so I know that that will be helpful to some folks here, and it's always good to know that you don't face any kind of veto threat. You got a president that actually wants to help out and sign a bill.
That's great. And there's other things that before we let you go, I want to talk about in the veterans world. At BHA, where I'm sitting on the board and Sam's a former employee of BHA, we care about that organization a lot. And they have an armed forces initiative that they're working on right now to get veterans in the outdoors. And I know you yourself have been hard on one of the champions of veterans issues. You are yourself spent 30 years in the Ohio Army National Guard. So I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about, your passion for veterans and a little bit of what you feel like the outdoors can do for those folks.
Well, I've gotten the chance to serve with a lot of amazing people, both in my time in the National Guard when I deployed to Operation Iraqi Freedom as a battalion commander. Unfortunately, I've had soldiers that served under me that have faced things like post-traumatic stress and mental illness as a result of their service. And, I've seen the great outdoors serve as an amazing therapy for our veterans that have post-traumatic stress. Gaining access to that kind of recreation really is therapeutic. And I've seen a ton of programs that help make sure that those soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines have sort of mission-oriented tasks that allow them to get back to who they were, and just being in the outdoors, as I said, is very therapeutic to them. So I've really seen that as one of the positive things, and I'm so excited that so many folks are working to help our veterans that need it get access to the great outdoors, because it does make a huge, huge difference in their symptoms of depression and post-traumatic stress. You know, we lose 22 veterans a day to suicide, and if we can even stop some of that, it'll be a big, big deal.
Yeah, that's huge. And we really appreciate, all the way from out here in Montana, we appreciate your support on the Great American Outdoors Act and everything that you do. Representative Stivers, thank you so much, and appreciate it. Have a good day out there in Ohio.
Thank you. You too. Take care, guys.
All right. See you, man.
See ya. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye now.
That's it. That's all. Another episode in the books. How you feeling, Phil? You feeling good?
Good. Yeah. It's really, it's kind of crazy that this thing's actually happening.
Which part? The fact that I'm getting tested for COVID, or the fact that,
No, that was only a matter of time. I'm talking about the Great American Outdoors Act, Ben.
Woo! Yeah, I will say, in all seriousness, you know, we try to kid about as much as we can. I am fine, hopefully. I'm just worried about everybody around me, so I don't want to be patient zero. I don't want to get anyone sick, including my family or anyone around me. So I missed Joe Farinato's wedding over the weekend. I'm missing a week or so in the office, but it is important to understand what's going on around us and make sure we're making the best decisions possible. So I'm trying to do the best I can for that. And hopefully next week or the week after, I'll be back in the office. We'll be back to normal as we can be during times of COVID. And so don't miss me too bad, Phil.
Oh, am I supposed to respond to that?
No, you don't have to respond to that. You don't have to respond to that at all, Phil.
Okay, hold on.
I feel, are we going downhill, our relationship? Or do you feel like you're just more disconnected than ever? What do I need to do?
No, everything's great. I don't know what you're talking about. I think it's just the whole, you know, working from home and then coming back, but then, you know, we still have guests that are remote. It's just different. Different times.
It is different times, for sure. But thanks to you for sticking with me, Phil, throughout this. You've been by my side, you know, and without fail. And so that means a lot.
It's been my pleasure.
Don't get emotional. I can see that you might be getting emotional. Do not do it.
Okay, I'm laughing so the tears don't come out.
That's it. That's what you're doing. Yes. All right. Well, we thank you to Senator Heinrich. Thank you to Representative Steve Stivers from Ohio. Thank you to Lantani. Thank you to Sam Lundgren. Thanks to everybody who's been a part of talking about and analyzing and pushing forward this legislation. We don't often talk about important legislation here, but this is one that I think, and we all think, that really needs to be highlighted for the reasons we've already said, so we won't belabor that. So again, if you have questions about this, there's many, many resources where you can go. The LWCF Coalition is one. Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is one. TheMeatEater.com is yet another. Get educated wherever you can. Listen to whatever credible source that you can find. But again, getting educated and thinking about this is important. So again, the great American LWCF Challenge, I want to go over it one more time so everybody has a chance to hear it again. It's really a five-step process. The first step is you're going to travel to a LWCF-funded site. You can find that on the LWCF Coalition website. You can find their map of LWCF sites there. It's easy to find, trust me. Travel to a site. It could be a pool, park, a wildlife refuge, piece of BLM ground. Doesn't matter. You go there. The second thing you do, you have a good time. Recreate. Enjoy that piece of property. Enjoy that land for what it's meant to be enjoyed for. Then during the visit, you're going to create something, a music video, an image, a drawing, a dance, a poem. Any other ideas, Phil, for what people could do?
Let's see. How about a short film? Is that too long?
No, a short film is not too long by definition.
3 to 5 minutes. Yeah. I want character arcs. I want twists, yeah. surprising twists. I want professional level cinematography. Should be easy.
Yes. Yes. Perfect. Phil has very few. Phil often doesn't make requests of you out there in listener land. So when he speaks, you should listen.
That's right.
You know what we like, man. We like poems. We like music. We like drawing. Anything. Anything that's creative, that expresses your love for Phil and White Claw and your hate for peas. Natural lime could be in there. Whatever. It doesn't matter. You could bring a natural lime with you to the place. Anything that makes us laugh, that makes us think about conservation of public lands works for us. Again, you have a couple of weeks to do this. Hopefully you're listening to this on June 29th. 2 weeks from today, we will get together, have a couple of White Claws. Hopefully I'll be cleared of any illness, and we'll get together with our crew and do some laughing and some voting on what you guys have turned in. And to close it all out, if you want to be considered, you're sending it to me at thc@themeateater.com, thc@themeateater.com. Thanks to First Light, Nemo, and Vortex for being involved and giving away awesome prizes for everybody out there. This is a big deal to me, big deal to a lot of people. And I'm hoping that you all can jump on board with us and have a little fun. So that's it. That's all I have to say. And we'll be back next week with my friends, Ryan and Hillary Lampers. We were up in Three Forks where they live, talking about their Hunt Harvest Health platform, what they do, who they are, how they handle their marriage, a hunter and a non-hunter together, how we can maybe do that better with our spouses. And then, Phil, maybe once you become a hunter, this might help you learn how to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, I just got done editing that episode, and I really enjoyed that conversation because it's not really something I have ever had to think about. But it also made me think that I will never be able to be a hunter because I feel guilty leaving my family to go to the grocery store. So,
yeah, so, Ryan, yeah. Ryan Lampers leaves for 20 days at a time and maybe comes back with an animal, maybe not. So it's a sacrifice, Phil. Everybody's at this point, the community pressure is on you, Phil, because everybody wants you to go hunting. I get a message a day, frankly, from people encouraging me to get you out there.
Yeah, well, you better get on that. This is 100% your responsibility. I'm just waiting for things to happen to me. I'm not being very, very proactive.
That's true. Is your number changed? What was your number before earlier this month?
Well, I think my number has changed. I think it was 2, and then maybe I brought it up to a 4 or 4.5 of.
Well, Eric Hall, I know you're listening. If you need to send Phil, I know you sent him a book about how to poop in the woods. If you need to send
thank
Phil
you.
A letter of encouragement or anything like that, please do. Well, all right, everybody. I am doing my best to stick with you through some weirdness, but we will see you next week. Please, I will be refreshing my thc@themeateater.com email all week and over the weekend, hoping to see what are some awesome entries for our Great American LWCF contest. It's going to be a fun ride. I'm excited. I know you are too, Phil, correct?
I love a good contest. You know, at first I was getting kind of sick of the contest, Ben, to be honest, because I mean, it was just so much content. It was hard to sit around and judge people because I hated saying anything negative. I wanted to support everybody. So I was glad the contests were over, but now I'm glad I want more. I'm ready for a new wave of user content.
Well, I mean, I want to be, and I've said this maybe, I don't know if I've ever said it on the show, but I'm trying to be the Oprah of hunting, book clubs, lots of contests. That's what I want. I just want that to be our brand, and I'll do anything to make it happen.
Yeah, well, they already pay you as much as Oprah got paid. So
That's true. But I want everybody to have. Can we give away a car next time, you think? We're really going to have to step it.
Yeah.
All right. That's fine. All right, everybody. We will see you next week. Enjoy the contest. Say bye, Phil.
Goodbye. Too long, 'cause I can't go a week without doing wrong. Oh, without doing wrong.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.